Continuing my homily series during the Easter season entitled Going in Faith, we're going in faith to fulfill our mission from Christ. We heard on the second Sunday of Easter, Jesus say to his first disciples in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." We've also been looking at aspects of the new pastoral plan that will be published in full very soon. The plan consists of short-term and long-term goals that will prepare the parish to celebrate our 150th anniversary in 2026. It's in keeping with the mission of the parish, which is stated on the bulletin cover and on page 3 of the bulletin, that we help people to believe in Christ, to belong to his church, and to bless our communities. Believe, belong, and bless. And among the ways in which we try to do that is through fellowship. When we think of the word fellowship, we think about socializing with one another, and that's one aspect to it. The parish is a society, and how do the bonds of relationship develop? Through our socializing with each other, not just during parties or festive gatherings, but even as we greet one another, as we come into the church building, or greet each other on the parking lot. Interact with one another after Holy Mass, whether in the narthex or out on the plaza or the parking lot, to catch up on how people are doing. To pray for those who are sick, not only those named in the bulletin, but all who are sick. To pray for the consolation and comfort of family members and caregivers. When we do have our social events, that is a way to continue to build up the society of the parish. In fact, that could be a way to introduce people to the parish. Sometimes if a person hasn't been to a worship service or Holy Mass in a long time, Holy Mass may be a bit too complicated for an invitation there. But as people learn how parishioners get along with each other, hopefully, at events like the Welcome Sunday reception and the Crab Feast or Breakfast with Santa, people will say, "Well, I'm now curious how these people worship the Lord together." And that's happened at times in which people would then come to worship with us during Holy Mass. Whether Catholics who were responding to the Lord to renew their faith and to practice it, or there were others who were considering following Christ within the Catholic Church. So while I said on the second Sunday of Easter that the parish is not a social club, but a sanctification center, one of the ways in which we grow in holiness is our support for one another, our encouragement for each other. We heard that in the first reading today, when the local church was being encouraged by the apostles and evangelists to continue to practice the faith, even through difficulties. So fellowship is important as part of the parish. And in the Greek language used in the New Testament, the word koinonia was used to describe that fellowship. But it made it clear through St. Paul's letters that koinonia of the Christian community was founded on the koinonia of God. You heard me say in the greeting after the sign of the cross, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That communion is translated koinonia, the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's the last verse of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We engage in fellowship activities, community building activities, founded on the one who has made the community possible, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his preaching and teaching, through his founding a church, and inviting that church to go and make disciples of all the nations. So it's important for us to see that even fellowship can help people to to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and to bless our communities. It's one of the ways we try to make the teaching and an example of Christ concrete, how we interact in our network of relationships. But the Lord makes it clear that as we enjoy one another's company, as we express care and concern for each other, that love that we express for one another must be based on how Jesus loves us. He said in the gospel reading, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. So it's important to review how the Lord Jesus loves us, how he puts that into practice. It's as fundamental as why Jesus came into the world. He came to heal humanity of the wounds of sin and division, to enable humanity to live a full human life as beloved sons and daughters of God. So as Jesus has loved us, so we are to love one another. It's made clear that this is how the Lord is loving us because the gospel reading begins with that Judas had left the Last Supper. And that was after it was revealed that Judas was going to betray the Lord. And Judas had left to put his plan into action. But Jesus was not a victim of his circumstances. Jesus freely offers himself for the salvation of the world. So it's this context, he says, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Let's look at three ways in which the Lord's offering of himself is an expression of his love for humanity and how we are to express that in our love for each other. First of all, the Lord Jesus redeems or liberates us from sin and death. I said just before that he came to heal the wounds of sin and division there. So we want to continue to die to sin and to live to the glory of God by how we think, how we speak, and how we act. What are the ways in which we are encouraging one another to do that, even as we're striving to do the same? What are the ways in which we are receiving encouragement from others to do that? The Lord has called us to follow him within the context of a community of faith. This is the context the Lord has chosen to form us to be like him. No, we're not perfect, but we seek to be perfected by the grace of God. Yes, Jesus understands all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses, but he trusts us to continue his mission and to form people who are Christ-like. And so, if he's come to redeem us from sin and death, what are ways in which we are encouraging each other to turn away from sin and to be faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes it's just being present. I remember one parishioner who has now since gone to God, who talked about his experience of being encouraged during the 4 o'clock Holy Mass on the Lord's Day by the presence of others, people who came from all different walks of life, but they were all coming to hear the word of God and to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, to be sustained in their faith. And that was an encouragement for him. Just the people being present, just the people worshiping together, it's a sense of encouragement. But also there's obviously other ways we can encourage people, to pray for them, to speak words of encouragement there. Sometimes we may have to challenge people if they're doing something wrong, which is not a judgment. A judgment, again, is not necessarily saying that from my standpoint you're doing something wrong. A judgment would mean that I know your motives for doing what's wrong, and I know what God's going to say at the end of your life. That's what Jesus means by judging. But we're supposed to help each other to do what's right. Even when Jesus sends forth the church to say repent, we've said to people, you're all sinners, just like we're sinners. And we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So even as we correct one another to do what's right, that's an expression of love, even if people don't appreciate it at first. People think that love has to be always a good feeling there. But the feelings cannot be commanded. I can't command you to be happy right now as I preach. It would be nice if you were, but I can't command you to feel a certain way. The Lord can't command us to feel a certain way. But he says with the act of the will that he's given to us, we can act in certain ways guided by his commandments. So being redeemed from sin and death, we love as Jesus loves by encouraging each other to die to sin and to live for God. What's another way in which the Lord loves us? He has reconciled us with God. And he promotes reconciliation within the human community. To be reconciled is to be brought into a right relationship with God. And whatever is right is defined by God. The same thing in regards to the human family. What are ways in which we can encourage one another to heal the wounds of sin and division, whether they could exist in our parish or in the larger community? Certainly to rub salt in those wounds, to have those wounds continue to fester, is not a way to love as Jesus loves. Jesus provides the healing remedy through his teaching and example. That is why I've said that we must always look at things first from the perspective of being a disciple or follower of Christ within his church. That is primary in our lives. No other allegiance. That's why, as Catholics in the United States, the largest religious body in the United States, who say that Catholicity is one of the marks of the church, not only the doctrine that comes forth from our Lord through the apostles across the century, but also the universality of the church. That is why Catholics should be making a positive impact in our communities, to continue to build community and not to see the increasing diversity of the population of the United States as a threat. We see the devastating consequences of people who want to stoke racial fears, such as in Buffalo, in a traditional African-American neighborhood yesterday, such as in El Paso, when one was motivated due to hatred towards Latinos or Hispanics. We've seen in New York and in other places of our nation hatred against people of Asian descent because of what they think happened regarding the pandemic. Whatever it is, we as Catholics should make a positive impact in our nation to build community, not try to alienate people from one another in community, and to silence voices in the public square that seek to stoke fear as a means to obtain votes or television ratings. Because we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ first. And when I mean quiet those voices, I'm not saying avoid the First Amendment. I'm saying that to make our voices louder in the public square. Because to be a Christian is to be part of a community, and to be part of the community is not to be insular, but to make a positive impact in the world. For Jesus said at the end of the gospel reading, this is how they will know us, by our love for one another. So of its nature, the community is public. The expression of our faith is public. And so we have an influence to heal the wounds of sin and division, not only between ourselves and God, but also within the human family. So as Jesus loves us, we are called to love one another. He redeems us from the power of sin and death. We are to help people to avoid, to turn away from sin, and to glorify God in our thoughts, words, and actions. He reconciles us to God and to one another. We are to help heal the wounds of sin and alienation among us. But also Jesus raises us to a new and everlasting life. We are called to encourage one another to see ourselves as people with an eternal significance. For there is the great communion the Lord wants us to experience, the heavenly koinonia that he wants us to experience. We are to help each other to go to heaven. I said on the third Sunday of Easter, when I talked about our motivation for fulfilling our mission, the motivation is our wholehearted love for God, and within that context, our appropriate love for ourselves and for others. The virtue of love means to care for the person, promoting what is for their true and lasting good as God defines what is good. To experience salvation in Christ is the greatest good that we can promote. To help people to grow in their faith as we embrace life's opportunities and encounter life's challenges is part of the greatest good that we can promote. So those who are in marriages, husbands and wives, are to encourage the salvation of each other. As they make commitments to raise their children in the practice of the faith, they're concerned about the salvation of their children. Friends are concerned about the salvation of one another. Parishioners are concerned about the salvation of each other. That we don't want just a fellowship here on earth, but to trust that even as we breathe our last here on earth, that while the bonds of fellowship will be different, they are not unraveled, as in the sight of Christ, all are alive before him. That's the reason to fulfill our mission, to live a fruitful Christian life here on earth, that death will not break and will continue for eternity. As the responsorial psalm says, we want to praise the Lord's name forever. And that is why we want to fulfill the commandment that Jesus says, love one another. As I love you, you are to love one another.